The soul renders lighter any burden that it endures with stubborn defiance. Remember that pain has this most excellent quality. If prolonged, it cannot be severe, and if severe, it cannot be prolonged, and that we should bravely accept whatever commands the inevitable laws of the universe lay upon us. When by means of such doctrines you have brought the erring man to a sense of his own condition, when he has learned that the happy life is not that which conforms to pleasure, but that which conforms to nature, when he has fallen deeply in love with virtue as man's sole good, and has avoided baseness as man's sole evil, and when he knows that all other things, riches, office, health, strength, dominion, fall in between and are not to be reckoned either among goods or among evils, then he will not need a monitor for every separate action to say to him, "Walk thus and so, eat thus and so." This is the conduct proper for a man, and that for a woman. This for a married man, and that for a bachelor. Indeed, the persons who take the greatest pains to proffer such advice are themselves unable to put it into practice. It is thus that the pedagogue advises the boy, and the grandmother her grandson. It is the hottest-tempered schoolmaster who contends that one should never lose one's temper. Go into an elementary school, and you will learn that just such pronouncements, emanating from high-browed philosophers, are to be found in the lesson book for boys. Shall you then offer precepts that are clear, or precepts that are doubtful? Those which are clear need no counselor, and doubtful precepts gain no credence, so the giving of precepts is superfluous. Indeed, you should study the problem in this way. If you are counseling someone on a matter which is of doubtful clearness and doubtful meaning, you must supplement your precepts by proofs, and, if you must resort to proofs, your means of proof are more effective and more satisfactory in themselves. It is thus that you must treat your friend, thus your fellow citizen, thus your associate. And why? Because it is just. Yet I can find all that material included under the head of justice. I find there that fair play is desirable in itself, that we are not forced into it by fear, nor hired to that end for pay, and that no man is just who is attracted by anything in this virtue other than the virtue itself. After convincing myself of this view, and thoroughly absorbing it, what good can I obtain from such precepts, which only teach one who is already trained? To one who knows, it is superfluous to give precepts. To one who does not know, it is insufficient. For he must be told not only what he is being instructed to do, but also why. I repeat, are such precepts useful to him who has correct ideas about good and evil, or to one who has them not? The latter will receive no benefit from you, for some idea that clashes with your counsel has already monopolized his attention. He who has made a careful decision as to what should be sought and what should be avoided knows what he ought to do without a single word from you. Therefore, that whole department of philosophy may be abolished. There are two reasons why we go astray. Either there is in the soul an evil quality which has been brought about by wrong opinions, or, even if not possessed by false ideas, the soul is prone to falsehood and rapidly corrupted by some outward appearance which attracts it in the wrong direction. For this reason, it is our duty either to treat carefully the diseased mind and free it from faults, or to take possession of the mind when it is still unoccupied and yet inclined to what is evil. Both these results can be attained by the main doctrines of philosophy. Therefore, the giving of such precepts is of no use. Besides, if we give forth precepts to each individual, the task is stupendous. For one class of advice should be given to the financier, another to the farmer, another to the businessman, another to one who cultivates the good graces of royalty, another to him who will seek the friendship of his equals, another to him who will court those of lower rank.